Let me introduce my coworker, my colleague, Laura Nixon. She's a media researcher with the Berkeley Media Studies Group. She studies how the news covers public health issues, including food and nutrition, violence prevention, and sexual and reproductive health. And she is wonderful at all of them. Her research aims to inform public health advocates and help them use the media effectively to advocate for public health and raise awareness of public health issues. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Laura.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Last but not least, I'm here to talk to you about the news about teen dating violence. As Pam said, I'm a media researcher at Berkeley Media Studies Group, and for this project, we were working with the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence in a larger project that they were undertaking to work with school administrators in California and connect with them around teen dating violence, and specifically to encourage them to be champions for policies in schools to prevent and address teen dating violence. And our piece of that was to look at the communications piece. How can they communicate with school administrators? To do that, we had to research, well, what do school administrators know already about teen dating violence? So I'm going to talk a little bit about the research that we did and offer in a very quick format a few suggestions that we gave to the partnership about their project, but that I think will have relevancy across a lot of different contexts. I have no disclosures to make. And I'd like to thank the Partnership to End Domestic Violence, the many folks who helped to inform our study, as well as the Centers for Disease Control. And just a word before I begin about Berkeley Media Studies Group. We are located in Berkeley, California. We research how the news covers public health issues. We provide media advocacy training and strategic consultation. And finally, we also do some professional education for journalists. And in this project, as I mentioned, we wanted to understand, we were going to create this communications plan to reach school administrators. So first, we wanted to understand, well, how do school administrators understand teen dating violence now? And to answer that question, we first looked at newspaper coverage in the mainstream news and in education publications, things like Education Week, EdSource. And we wanted to do that in order to answer the question, if school administrators only learned about teen dating violence from the news, mainstream news, and education news, what would they know about it, and what wouldn't they know about it? And we also did some interviews with stakeholders, with school administrators, as well as other folks involved in the educational system. So let's look first at the coverage of mainstream newspapers. What does it look like in California newspapers when they talk about teen dating violence? And the first thing that we found is that they do not talk about it very much. We looked at 3 years of coverage for all of California newspapers, and we only found about 150 stories. Compared to other public health issues, that's not very much. But there was some good news, because when teen dating violence was in the news, it was often focused on prevention. It was focused on solutions. It was there because there was some kind of event, because people were going out there holding a vigil. They were holding a training. It was something that was focused on solutions. But we found that school representatives were not usually quoted in the news. They didn't appear very often when there was news about teen dating violence. So it would be difficult if a school administrator picked up a paper and read about teen dating violence. They wouldn't necessarily see themselves in it. They wouldn't necessarily see their role from reading that newspaper article. And finally, we saw that education and awareness campaigns were the most common solutions that were talked about, but we didn't really see a lot of discussion of more robust policy solutions. It was often like an education program at a local school. There wasn't much about, like, at the district level, we're going to require education about this, or things at the statewide level, or some of those other policies that we might want to see. We found something similar when we looked at education journals. Teen dating violence just was not very present in those publications, and it was very rare to find any kind of substantive discussion about them. But one piece of good news is that things like bullying, campus safety, and student mental health were mentioned pretty often, and we know that there are lots of places where you could make connections with student mental health and teen dating violence, or social emotional learning and teen dating violence, or some of those other issues that were appearing. So they are reporting on those kinds of issues, it would just be a matter of making that connection. And finally, we also did some of those stakeholder interviews. And first, we wanted to find out, well, if you think that it's important for schools to do prevention work and to address teen dating violence, why? Why does that matter? And this is a good example of the kind of responses that we got. And this was from a PTA representative who said, there's nothing more important than the safety and well-being of children. Until that's taken care of, the rest of what we do in public education is just wasting time. So there's this idea that there's a responsibility to keep kids safe, that that's a central role of the education system. And we also heard folks talk about things like the absentee rate, dropout rates, mental health issues, and all of those things that impacted students. We also asked them, well, if schools should get involved, what do you think that they should do? Education was, as one might expect in schools, a very large theme. So looking, and we saw kind of two different sides, right? We saw educating about healthy relationships, but also educating about what unhealthy relationship looks like. We also saw people talking about building capacity with adults on campus, particularly to intervene when they either saw warning signs, when there was problematic behavior, or when there was some kind of more severe incident, what could they do? And a lot of folks talked about the opportunities to tie in with work that's been being done around restorative justice models, social-emotional learning, and schools becoming more trauma-informed, and pointing to those as opportunities to connect teen dating violence with what's already going on in schools. Out of these stakeholder interviews, we heard a lot of themes, and one of the things that we did was distill down, here are some potential messaging themes that might be useful to communicate with, and just kind of categories to think about as you're creating messages or talking points around teen dating violence. And the first one is this idea that schools have a responsibility to give kids the skills that they need to create healthy relationships. And one of the benefits of this message theme is that it goes a little bit beyond that safety theme. Because if you're talking about students can't learn if they're hurting or don't feel safe, that's important. But then you're really focusing on what can we do to make sure that kids don't become victims of teen dating violence. Whereas if you're talking about how can we make sure that kids can create healthy relationships, that's talking about preventing kids becoming victims, but it's also talking about how can we prevent kids from perpetrating teen dating violence. Another important one that we pulled out was this idea that together we can prevent teen dating violence. And this is something that we heard over and over again, and particularly with Peace Over Violence in California, and they've been really focusing on this idea that violence is taught and it can be untaught. That there can be this sense that violence is inevitable. You know, school administrators just want to throw up their hands, but to really emphasize, no, you know what, this is preventable, this is something that kids are taught, this is something that's created, and we can work to work against that. So these were some of the kind of key salient themes that came out of these interviews. And now I'm going to leave you with a whirlwind tour of media advocacy and some thoughts that we gave to the partnership, but that I think are really transferable and could be used in a lot of different projects. So first, we encourage them to monitor how is this issue being presented in the news or other relevant media. You may not have the resources to do such a deep, in-depth dive like we did, but just to take a look, okay, how is this issue being covered in my local community? If there's some particular group that I'm interested in, such as school administrators or the business community or something like that, let me take a look at their journals and what they might be likely to be reading and seeing, you know, what's going on there. The other is that any time that you're going to be working with the media, you first want to clarify, why do I want to use the media? What is it that I want to do? And that means clarifying your policy goals. What exactly is my goal here? And who has the power to make a decision? Is it the school board? Are we going for the governor? Are we going for the legislature? Are we going for the principal of this particular high school? Once you've got that nailed down, then you can think about developing those talking points. So for example, if you've identified those themes, you know what, What does that decision maker need to know? What does the school board need to know? Do they need to know, hey, this is preventable, we can do this? Do they need to know, you know what, this is their responsibility, this falls under them, they need to be helping kids to develop healthy relationships? And also figure out who does that target need to hear from? Who does the school board need to hear from in order to convince them about this? And then you need to train those folks to be able to go up and talk about it. And finally, once you've got all of that in place, it's time to go out and create news about prevention. And that means, and that can really help to increase the impact of all the organizing that you're doing and all of the advocacy that you're doing. And a few thoughts about that is to use breaking news. This can be a really effective tactic. For example, if there's a story in the local paper about bullying in schools, or about the latest social-emotional learning curriculum that's being rolled out, could you write a letter to the editor and talk about how we should also consider teen dating violence within that? Or could you write an op-ed, a blog? Another important aspect of being able to do media advocacy is to build relationships with journalists. And that kind of goes back to that first point of monitoring what's already in the news. If you take a look and see, okay, who's writing about these kinds of issues in my local newspaper, find out who they are, get their email address, find out their Twitter handle. That's actually a very good way of connecting with journalists in this day and age. Follow them, give them, you know, connect with them. That way, when you are going to be holding an event, releasing a study, going and talking to the school board, you're going to already have that relationship with them. You're going to know who to call, and they'll be much more likely to be open to listening to what you have to say. You always want to be prepared with resources for reporters, what they need in order to make an interesting story. Statistics, someone they can talk to about various aspects of the issue. And finally, things that you're probably already doing, things like releasing reports, holding events, giving awards. Those are all great ways of creating news. And this picture is an example of someone getting creative with ways of generating news, and that is, it's called a walk in her shoes. It's high school students walking a mile in high heels, and that's a great example. You know, any journalist, that's a great visual for them to be able to publish. And so the more creative you are, the more successful you'll be at garnering news coverage. And I look forward to hearing any of your questions. Thank you.